Hour number three of Jam Session. Chuck Cooperstein, Clarence E. Hill Jr., the four star telegram in for Jean-Jacques Taylor and Matt McLaren today. They'll be back on Monday.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Is your son back there playing that music?
I don't know if it was him or it was Alan or who.
Me under the directive of Big Al.
Do you know who that was?
I've heard the song. I have no idea who it is.
Okay.
I mean, I've heard it. You know, again, you know, when teams come on the floor, they you know a lot of times. Now, you know, the Mavericks, I don't think, have used it, but I mean, others have used it. So, but I have no idea who it is. Who is it?
School him, young Coop.
I knew.
Who is it? No, tell me. I don't know who Coop. It is. Tell me. You're on the air.
I'm drawing a blank here, though.
You're
T.I. Thank you.
See, he needed somebody a little older. Maybe it's like that's he's too young for that. I don't know.
I know who T.I. is.
But you didn't know who the artist of the song. You didn't know that.
We'll try again next time.
Okay. Well, there you go. Well, the Mavericks, as free agency began with $30 million in cap space, even after the acquisition and signing of Kristaps Porzingis, which would happen after all of the other free agent activity would take place that would allow the Mavericks to act as an over-the-cap team, I think they were expecting to do some big damage. The goal, Donnie Nelson said the day after the season and the exit interviews, was to add firepower to this team. So a team that averaged about 108 points a game last year could certainly get up to speed for a league average that was over 111 points a game. And frankly, Clarence, it has not played out that way.
It feels like we were sold a bill of goods, even going beyond what he said after the season. How about draft night? You know, when the moves they made on draft night, the curious move they made on draft night was to give them flexibility, you know, so they can make other moves down the line of free agency. And that didn't happen. I mean, you look at what they did, and they weren't prepared. They weren't ready. They misread the market or whatever. We thought big things were going to happen when free agency. They had all this cap room. We've been talking about this offseason with this cap room. Guys were finally going to come here, finally going to get somebody to sign here. Certainly, we were all down that rabbit hole with Kemba Walker, the Kemba Walker rabbit hole. You know, there were so many. Well, the Dallas are their favorites. They're in the lead. Kemba Walker's coming. It didn't happen.
Went to Boston, frankly, for a better situation for him.
And understandably so.
Absolutely. If you objectively look at that, which is very difficult, I realize, for Maverick fans to do.
No, it's just like, there are always reasons, though. There's always reasons why we get left at the altar here in Dallas. And Mavericks fans are tired of it. We don't care about the reason. That's why this Danny Green thing is interesting.
You don't care about reasons, but the reasons exist. I mean, you can't operate as if they don't exist.
But the bottom line is, from us, from being in Dallas, Maverick fans, the bottom line is we don't get our guy. We don't get the guy we want. Certainly there are reasons. There's always reasons.
Yes.
You know, so if you shoot me,
so
accidentally on purpose, I'm still shot.
Okay, so is it better to have swung for the fences and struck out than to not have swung at all? Because if they don't swing for the fences, and it affects everything else that they do, it's like you're at that point, you know, the team is damned if it does and it's damned if it doesn't. So again, what do you want them to do? Now I would say I would like for them to generally speaking take the draft more seriously than they have. Now, granted, they didn't have a first round pick this year, and they didn't have a first round pick because they got arguably the best player in free agency, restricted, or otherwise. I mean, okay, Kawhi's out there, but I mean Porzingis is an absolute stud at 24. I mean, there's nobody younger who has more on the plate than he does. So from that, was that worth giving up a first-round draft choice for? I think it was. But you didn't have that. That doesn't mean, though, that, and as we've seen in the early stages of the second round, even when they were drafting at 37, that you couldn't take that player and perhaps do something with him. You did it with Jay Crowder. I mean, Jay Crowder became a legitimate NBA rotation player as you took him 34th in the draft of, what, 2013 or whatever that draft was.
I guess for me, the Mavs' decision-making is not just about this year. It's a culmination of years and culmination of things and culmination of what they've done. And you know, I'll go back to the Greek Freak. You know, you wouldn't let Donnie go after the Greek Freak because you put all your eggs in the basket of Dwight Howard.
Right. Correct.
And you failed, and you didn't get him.
Didn't get him.
You know, and so, you know, it's all those not getting
right.
guys.
It should never – the draft and free agency, it should never be either or.
Right.
It's like you should be able to find a way to use the draft to your advantage. The idea that cap space is king – really doesn't apply because, as we saw in the last 5 days, teams that wanted to clear cap space were able to clear cap space. You don't necessarily have to be sitting with it in order to make it work for you. You can go get your players, and if you need to get rid of your players, as we've seen, just about any contract is tradable. Maybe John Wall's contract's not tradable.
No.
Chris Paul's contract's not tradable right now. But
who wants Chris Paul right now?
Most everybody else's contract is tradable right now. Listen, you know, even Daryl Morey had said, and I have no reason not to believe him, given the Wheeler dealer that he is, that he had the ability to bring Jimmy Butler into that team and make it work when it looked like, if you looked at their teams,
right,
how are they going to do that? Well, you can do that. And unfortunately, I think the Mavericks have had a difficult time reconciling that, the whole cap space thing, with free agency, with the draft. And they have, you know, they're great around the edges. They're fantastic around the edges. But at some point, they probably need to hit one. They do need to hit one, but they got to keep swinging for one. And the only way I think they're going to be able to swing and connect is if Doncic and Porzingis are as good as we all think they're going to be. And the Mavericks take a significant jump up. When that happens, then they're looked at more seriously. They couldn't be looked at really seriously after they won the championship because at that point Dirk was old. You know, they couldn't be looked at really seriously the last several years as they were declining and declined into this now 33-24-33 win space, to where teams, really big-time players, don't want to go to 33-24 and 33 win teams. They want to go where they see the opportunity to win and spend a lot of time in the playoffs, if not ultimately winning the playoffs.
And again, you're closer to this situation, but the optics from the outside – how much is Rick in how he treats players, or hard on players, and how he handles his players and the team impacted guys wanting to come here? You know, obviously we know about the Rondo situation, and DeAndre has some issues, and certainly those things get out. Players talk.
There's no doubt that players talk, but players want more to know that their team has their best interests at heart. I think the Mavericks more than went out of their way to show DeAndre Jordan that they had his best interests at heart, with, frankly, how they played him. Because he didn't play the same way for the Mavericks that he played for the Clippers. I mean, he barely was a role guy with the Mavericks. We had him standing out there thinking he's Nikola Jokic. You know, not that he's a shooter like right. Jokic, but that he was handling the ball. I mean, almost the worst thing that happened to DeAndre Jordan with the Mavericks was he had that near triple-double against Utah early in the season last year. All of a sudden, we thought he was a passer, you know, and he wasn't that. And he was a turnover machine, and it wound up really hurting the team. So...
But even the Rondo thing, and we know Rondo can be a turd and all the other stuff, but for whatever reason, he's respected among other players in the league.
Well, if that were the case, though, then why has he moved on to Sacramento, Chicago, New Orleans, the Lakers, ever since he left Dallas? So I mean,
I don't think he's the same player he was when he was in Boston. I mean, clearly he's
right.
Not the player.
I mean, no, I think if the Mavericks were winning games – and the Mavericks have been in this transitional phase for quite some time now, where they are not winning games at the level they want to and need to win games, then I think that they would be looked at much differently. And, you know, as much as we here in Dallas look at Doncic and Porzingis and say, my goodness, I mean, who wouldn't want to play with two young studs like that? You know, where I wouldn't have to do a whole lot of the heavy lifting. Ultimately, they need to see those guys win here. You know, it's one thing for Doncic to win everything over in Europe. To these guys,
yeah, it's nothing.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything. And Porzingis, you know, as well as he's played, he hadn't won here.
And is there a question about Porzingis, you know, being a diva? You know, there's some whispers about his personality and off the court stuff that.
Well, I don't know that would necessarily affect free agents.
No, it wouldn't. But I'm just asking about him and how, you know.
I mean, look, you know, one of the reasons that he fell out of favor in New York was that he wanted his guy, Manolo Valdivieso, to be employed by the team and be part of the training staff. And the Knicks said no. Well, if you remember at the news conference when Porzingis was introduced here, Rick went out of his way to introduce Manolo Valdivieso as part of the family and indeed has been added as part of the Mavericks training staff. So it's like Kawhi. It's like, you know, Kawhi and how he felt he was mistreated in San Antonio. Well, now, you know, in Toronto or wherever else he's going, you know, he goes, I want my guys. I want to make sure I'm playing, you know, only, you know, these many games. I want you to, you know, watch my load management and all this kind of stuff. I mean, let me tell you something. At this level, at LeBron, I mean, Curry, Durant, Kyrie,
they're all divas. Stop it. Kawhi, Durant, LeBron, Curry, what's not like Porzingis? They're champions. They're bona fide superstars. They deserve to be divas. Porzingis has done nothing to be considered a diva in that respect.
At his point in his career, he was ahead. He's ahead of all those other guys.
That's fine. But those guys are champions. Those guys are MVPs. MVPs.
This is the way of the world. They are all. Now, can Porzingis, you know, make better decisions about, you know, not having chairs thrown at him and whatever in Latvia? Yeah, he probably can. You know, kind of like Zeke. I mean, kind of should have security around him at all. If he's going to go live that life, that's all well and good.
But I just think we're going to learn a lot about him over the next year and that we don't know.
And also,
on and off the court.
And I think, too, again, the fact that he's not in New York, where his every move is being dissected. I mean, for all I know, since the Knicks are going to be so bad, Mark Berman from the New York Post may come down and be a Porzingis beat writer. You know, follow him every day. You know, for the people in New York who seem to be, pretty infatuated and indeed, over the top interested in him. But he's in a more stressful playing situation because the West is more difficult. But overall, from an overall interest standpoint, it's not like, you know, ESPN and every other, you know, national outlet and all that, that they are all going to be converging and staying here on a regular basis, chronicling his every move. And I think he'll benefit from that.